You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I'm Allison Sutter from MLB.com, here for my final chat of the regular season and the season with Corey Brock, who covers the Padres. And Corey, I want to look a little bit ahead. Well, the last time we're ever going to look ahead. They end the season, if I'm not mistaken, at the Dodgers. So three games in L.A. To end the season. And I've asked some of the other reporters who are covering non-contending teams but might be able to, be involved in playoff implications. And of course, the Dodgers have clinched, but they haven't clinched home field advantage, and they probably are not going to. But if that is still in play, the Padres feel the need to have that whole integrity of the game thing and put out a team that could, you know, actually win the game if they want to maybe try out some young guys instead?
Yeah, there's a joke there somewhere, Allison. But, I think in terms of the team they're going to put out on the field, I think it kind of boils down more or less to the pitching, how they're going to line that up. But, you know, as it stands, the first two games of the series, they're getting a look at a couple of young guys, Casey Kelly and Robbie Erlin. You know, these are kind of extended auditions for 2016. And, nothing there is going to change. I think the only thing that could change is maybe on that final Sunday, James Shields is set to throw, and maybe they'll have a kind of truncated start for him, maybe dial him back to five innings or so and let the rest of the staff fill that thing out. But, I think, you know, they were kind of waiting to see exactly what was happening with this Dodgers-Giants series. The Dodgers obviously clinched the West, so they're in good shape there. So I think it'll be sort of business as usual for the Padres.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that, trying to affect home field is really anything that the Padres need to be worried about, concerned about, or have any responsibility in whatsoever. So we've talked a lot about, let's face it, we've probably beaten to death every subject that we could possibly come up with the last couple of weeks. So I want to talk about Dick Enberg, who has announced that next year will be his final year as a broadcaster for the Padres, or I guess as a broadcaster in general. He's stepping down. He's 80 years old, and he would like to be doing some other things with his life and not doing so much baseball. So, he has done so much. I mean, he has been an announcer forever for many sports. Of course, the Tournament of Roses Parade, he was an announcer for that. He's called 8 Super Bowls. What's his legacy? What is his legacy in baseball? How do you know him? I mean, how do you kind of view him in the scope of broadcasting?
Yeah, and this is no knock on Dick, but probably not in the baseball sense, but probably for all the other things that you mentioned, Allison. I think that's sort of when we were all kind of introduced to Dick Enberg, you know, people of our generation, watching him broadcast these sort of iconic events. Those games on New Year's Day or Final Fours and just real momentous sporting occasions. And this guy was there for, quite a few of them. So I think it's the overall picture. I mean, sure, he was a Ford C. Frick winner this year, but, I think it's you have to look with guys like this, guys that have been doing it forever. You got to look at the entire body of work and look at how many of the most iconic sporting events of the last half century this guy was at. And was behind the microphone and bringing that information and telling that story to so many people across so many different fronts and different age groups and all that. And I think that's why he's had so much success and why he continues to be remembered as the great is because he had a sort of that far-reaching effect, for people of a few different generations.
And so we've all heard the reports, and of course nothing's been confirmed by anybody, but Don Orsillo, who became very famous outside of Boston for basically being told by the Red Sox he's not going to be their announcer anymore after the season. And it appears that he is headed that way. I guess it would be next year, after Enberg retires. So, are you guys hearing the same thing out there? And I guess that would be a huge pickup for them if that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a done deal, Allison. I think we'll have an announcement here fairly shortly. Of course, team president and CEO Mike Gee, spent about 8 years with the Red Sox, the last 7 as a COO. So, he's got some Red Sox blood in him and certainly understands what Don Orsillo meant to that community and a guy that was behind the mic for maybe some of the most momentous and important games in franchise history. during his 15 or so years with the Red Sox. So, you know, I think they're getting an opportunity. You know, they're going to dial back the Kimbrough schedule a little bit in that final year, and I think they're going to get an opportunity to pair him up with Mark Grant, who, for my money, is really good, and not just as a former player, but just as a guy that brings some levity and some humor to the booth. And I think both those guys playing off each other is going to be a real dynamic pairing.
Yeah, you know, Mark Grant, I rarely listen to Padres broadcast because I don't live anywhere near there, so I'm not really getting those broadcasts. But when I do hear them, he really is special. I mean, I don't know that he gets enough credit for how entertaining he makes these broadcasts. And that's just a natural gift. I mean, you can't make yourself be funny. You either are or you aren't. And Grant certainly, he's really, really high energy, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And I think these analyst jobs, the fabric of them have kind of shifted over time a little bit, Allison, maybe even just in the last 10 years, where you don't necessarily need to stick an ex-jock back there just to have one. You know, this guy could bring the perspective of having been a major league pitcher, having been a Padres pitcher, and break down the nuts and bolts on that. But in the next sense, he could be telling some jokes, making fun of himself. He's big on that. And, you know, this is the entertainment business. And I sometimes think that we kind of lose sight of that on occasion. And, he does a really good job of keeping it loose. It, just for me, he's just really a real ideal fit in the booth. Just because of the different things that he could bring and just the sort of the different groups of people that he could resonate with.
Yeah, he was caught on camera doing a crazy dance in between innings that was even funnier because Enberg was, I guess, looking down at his scorebook and didn't notice any of it. And it's one of the – I watched it like 11 times because it was so fantastic.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay, so let's move to hypothetical awards. So the baseball writers every year vote not only on national awards, but also locally on team awards. So I'm going to pick your brain a little bit and say that you have control over the world and over these awards. And who would you pick for your team MVP?
Team MVP, I would probably go with Justin Upton, just in terms of the impact that he's provided in the middle of the order. And you know, I think he'd probably tell you that he'd like to be hitting a little higher in terms of average, but, you talk about big raw power and power that really played in that home ballpark, which they made some modification in the fences over the last few years, Allison, but it's still a pretty big ballpark. And, I think he set himself up really well for a big payday. Matt Kemp had a very nice second half, but, from start to finish, I would say Justin Upton is probably the overall MVP.
Okay. And how about pitcher of the year?
Yeah, I really like Tyson Ross. You know, he finished up on a losing note the other day, but this is a guy that not only matched his 2014 All-Star numbers, but was actually better in a lot of different areas and also showed, and I think this is important, that kind of not a one-hit wonder. You know, last year was the first time he made 31 starts. He made all 33 this year, came close to 200 innings, 212 strikeouts. The internal numbers are really good. This guy's got something like an ERA right around 3 over his last 64 big league starts, and with a good strikeout ratio, a low hits to innings pitch ratio. I think this guy is, I don't think we're really talking nearly enough about Tyson Ross.
Okay, how about rookie of the year?
There's not many. This is kind of I wouldn't say an older roster, but this is a roster mostly of guys with, decent big league service time. It's probably infielder Corey Spangenberg, a guy that's, got a taste of the big leagues last September. He's got an extended look this year. Can play second base, can bounce around a little bit, but really offers the one element the Padres don't have a whole lot of, and that's speed. The other night he hit a ball down the line. He turned it into a triple. It's probably a double for anybody else. That kind of changes the whole complexion of the inning, Allison. All it takes is a fly ball at that point to get that run home instead of a hit or a few other things happening. So, I think his speed alone has helped win them a couple of games, and I think they're really looking for him to win that second base job next year.
Okay, and then the final one is the Good Guy Award, and that kind of there's a lot of definitions. A lot of teams have this kind of award where a guy who kind of embodies the spirit of a baseball player professionally, a good professional, a good teammate, good with the media, good in the community. So if you had to pick a Good Guy Award, who would you award that to?
Man, I think they've traded them all in the last couple of years. The guys that you really embody the spirit of what you're talking about. For me, I think Clint Barmas is still kind of the a veteran guy that kind of holds everything together a little bit. You know, hasn't played nearly as much as probably he thought he would. But I think he's a guy that, you know, quietly in the clubhouse is very good. And it's, I know he's taken a lot of the young players under his arm. It's helped Jed Gerko a lot with development at shortstop. Just a consummate good teammate. You know, this is a guy, Allison, who helped Troy Tulowitzki during his time in Colorado. He also helped Jordy Mercer when he was with the Pirates just a couple of years ago. So, you know, I just think he sort of embodies a lot of the things that you want on your team, on your roster, and probably helps out a lot more ways than we ever see.
Yeah, I'm always like so intrigued by that kind of phenomenon in baseball that it makes it so unique. Is the veteran guy who's like on the team, on the payroll, being paid by the team, and basically a lot of the times being asked to groom his replacement. And it takes a special person. There are probably a lot of baseball players who do fit the bill and handle it well, but you really got to dig deep to be able to, you know, handle that. And Clint Barmus is certainly one of those guys.
Yeah, and it's not something, you're right, Alton, it's not something that every guy is cut out to do. You know, it's kind of a selfless job. I mean, it's certainly putting the greater good ahead of your own good. And, you know, I think we could all agree, and Clint would even agree, you know, he's at the tail end of what's been a nice, lengthy big league career with a few different teams. And, you know, I think maybe this is just, he kind of looks at it as his opportunity to kind of get back. I know when he signed with the Padres, he mentioned he had a few guys that really took him under his wing, under their wing, I should say, when he was a rookie in Colorado. And that always really resonated with him. You see that with a few guys who always kind of looking to maybe give back where others kind of help them out and really realize the importance of that.
Yeah, not so coincidentally, a lot of those guys end up as coaches not long after they retire, which is not a coincidence at all.
Yeah.
Okay, Corey, thank you so much for today and for all season and being so great and much appreciated. And we'll catch up with you this winter.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Allison. Thanks for your time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.